Welcome, everybody, to Heroes Asylum TV Room. My name is Captain Mike. I am your host. Here in the TV Room, we are just kicking back, turning on the Disney streaming service right now, and we're enjoying the rebirth, the finale, in a way, also, of Star Wars Clone Wars Season 7. The Heroes Asylum TV show or room will actually involve other TV shows along the way, but we are starting off with Season 7 of the Clone Wars, and I want to thank everybody for downloading. The reaction to the first episode was very surprising, I just got to tell you. I didn't think we'd see a lot of reaction on this, but I'm glad to see people were out there downloading it, enjoying it, so thank you guys very much. Heroes Asylum is part of the Heroes Asylum Network, or this TV show is part of the Heroes Asylum Network, so please, guys, check out heroesasylum.com, where you can find all the links to our Midnight Movie, regular Heroes Asylum show, our news blogs, our events. We have an event coming up here shortly. So, but we're going to jump right into it because I cannot wait to see what the final is that they're doing here for the Clone Wars Season 7. I have watched years ago, I want to say at least 4 years ago, I mentioned in the last show a lot, but they had released these episodes already in animatics. And basically, if anybody's unsure what animatics is, it's a very rough version of the cartoon. They're showing you where the bodies are going to be placed, movement. And it's very, I don't want to call it stick figure, but it's like one position. The person's in one position, they move across the screen. Very rudimentary, but the voice actors are all there. So I've seen those, and I do know with this release, they've added more scenes. So I was really excited to see what more they added on here. But what we're going to do, we're going to fire up our Disney Plus streaming service. You're going to find Episode 7, Season 2, was just released on February 28th. I am releasing this a day late. Sorry, had some other events that we had to take care of. But we're here. We're going to get this going. Next week, it might be a little late as well. I have a convention to join, so I'll probably drop that Saturday night. But hopefully we'll get this going here. So if you guys want to go ahead and get your Disney Plus fired up, ready to go, I'm going to hit the play button. After 3, 2, 1, I'm going to say play. That's when we're going to play. That's when you're going to hit play. And we're all going to jump into a galaxy far, far away. So here we go, folks. In 3, 2, 1, play. And this one is titled A Distant Echo. And if you guys remember from the end of the last episode, Rex and the Bad Batch were going off trying to find out who this computer programmer anomaly was that was able to know exactly everything the clones were doing, even Rex. They consider Rex for one of the more free-thinking clones with his battle strategies. And Rex had this hunch that it was his old pal Echo. And again, if you guys listened to the last episode, Echo was mentioned as part of the Domino Squadron, Rex's original squad that we saw in, I want to say Rex or Echo got killed in Season 4, if I remember. But slowly the other members have gotten killed off. But, you know, here we are seeing this with Hunter, Anakin, and Rex. And if you guys look in the background of the hangar, you see a lot of familiar vehicles, jets, you know, fighters from the past of the Clone Wars and from the movie series as well. Now, this scene here answers a lot of questions. Like, we've all been, like, has everybody been so oblivious to Anakin and Padme's relationship? We see here it's not as kept secret as we thought. There are some close to them. Rex is, you know, is as close to anybody to Anakin. So, obviously, he knows that he's communicating back home with Padme. I don't know how much he knows. We also know that Ahsoka kind of knows. She hinted at it during her last scene in the Clone Wars last season, season six, or no, not, I'm sorry, not season six, season five, when before she left, before she left the temple and said goodbye to Anakin, he made the comment of that, you know, he understands why she wants to go, and she basically turned around and just said, "I know," with this look on her face, and it makes you think, okay, she knows what's going on, because she was friends with Padme as well as Anakin. And honestly, really, when it boils down to it, if you want to look at the children of Anakin and Padme, that was one of their children. Ahsoka was raised by them both. And of course, here comes Obi-Wan. Now, the one thing is again, Anakin must be very oblivious to a lot of things. He doesn't see this bump on Padme's belly. It's a small bump, but it's a bump nonetheless. Of, you know, so I don't know if he's just like not paying attention, being a normal dude. But it's one of those ones that maybe it'll come down that. We'll find out a little bit more about this. And I do like the change that they've given both Anakin and Obi-Wan in this season. Obi-Wan's definitely looking more the way he did in Revenge of the Sith. Of course, Anakin's getting his hair a little bit longer, going with the more emo style. Yeah, when Padme makes the comment about Rex going a little bit, Anakin, he makes the comment about Rex being a little bit more, you know, following his heart, and he shouldn't be doing that. And she, you know, she makes the crack of, gee, I wonder where he, you know, got that from. You do see the influence of Anakin on Rex, and then vice versa. There is a bit of Rex in Anakin as well. Now, that moment when Obi-Wan makes the comment that he knows that they're talking, I was having a talk with a friend the other day about this, and they're like, well, no, he knows. He's got to know. He can't be that oblivious. I was like, the whole Jedi Order was oblivious to you know, Palpatine. So I don't think Obi-Wan is oblivious to them having a relationship, but it's more, I think it's a friend relationship, and he's had that as well. So I think he's believing, you know, Anakin hasn't crossed that line that he almost did from the Mandalorian series or the storyline. So I don't think Obi-Wan really knows. I don't think he got the final hint until he saw her and everything happened at the end of Revenge of the Sith when he made the comment that, oh, okay, Anakin's the father. We don't know that for sure, but I think that's what we have. Now, if you look around the ship, and so far we've seen a couple of them. So far, you'll see like paint or like posters, and they're like battle scenes, space battles, and that's the name that's on there. That's written in the Star Wars writing, the basic. That's what they call it. They all say space battles. So I'm not sure if that's just something they collect or what. Now, there is one difference from the animatics to this is they didn't have the meeting of Anakin and Padme over the hologram. The only time Padme was ever mentioned in this episode in the animatics is just before they were getting ready to jump on the ship. They had a painting on the side of their spaceship, just like the old World War II fighter pilots used to, and the bombers would have a girly poster on the side of their ship and naming, you know, the Memphis Belle or you know, Betty Bombshell or something like that. They would do something. They had something very similar to that, but it was Padme, because they just they liked her. They saw her from the holographic news about her being a senator, and they all had a thing for her. And it's very funny as you know, in the animatrix one, they are walking aboard the ship, and you see Anakin pan over, see it. He looks at Rex. He goes, "That's coming down." And that's really the only reference to Padme. And I thought it was a great reference. I wish they would have kept that in, because it wasn't that long. And it gave you some ideas of these guys, and also gave you a little bit more reason for Anakin not to like them or trust them too much. Because you don't want that instant connection. They have to learn to build, or Anakin, you know, to build Anakin's trust. And I just think it would have been a little bit better. And they still could have had that scene with Anakin and Padme in the locker room or the barracks. Now, through this, we will see a few of the gonk droids, is what they're called. The little square droid that just walks around. And all you see is really the legs. We see him a few times. We did see in here, what was his name? Oh, the big brute of the Bad Batch. Shoot, I'm drawing my blank of his name right now. I think it's a tank or something like that. He was lifting him up, doing exercises with him. We see another gonk droid in here. And it, just if you guys know the gonk droids, we saw, like, in Star Wars New Hope, we saw them on the Jawa big tank. And then we also, in Revenge of the Sith, or not Revenge of the Sith, sorry, Return of the Jedi, that was the one robot that was in the Jabba's palace that was getting flipped upside down and getting, like, tortured or getting printed with something on his feet. And these creatures, these aliens here at this planet, very, very similar to Egyptian hieroglyphs of what gods and what their pharaohs used to look like. If you've ever looked at any of the hieroglyphs on any, like, documentary or show or in history books or anything like that, or the web, Wikipedia, they'll be very similar to the high-peaked heads. The headdresses that the Egyptian of, you know, pharaohs, the hieroglyphs that they had there. Also, the creatures themselves, very, very much looking like something from a hieroglyph. Places, a desert area, not fully underground, but you can see that they have some city parts underground. But they have these small little towers that come up. So it's an interesting planet, to say the least. The language didn't change much from the animatics, because when I first watched the animatics, I thought it was just like generic alien speak. But apparently they kept it to that weird clicking and sound. On here with Tech, his translator. In the bottom part, you see the left and the right side is the translations happening, but at the very bottom in there, in the basic language, actually says translator program. And that's basically part of his design on his helmet, which I think is kind of a cool trick, because it seemed like everybody knew, you know, when you go to in the Star Wars language, almost everybody knows every language. It just seemed a little silly, and I'd like to see that there are languages out there that nobody knows. Now, this planet they're talking about, Shaco Minor. Shaco Minor was actually introduced into the new canon into this episode, but the planet was actually introduced as Shaco in the Legends novel. I want to say Cloak of Deception. I think it was Cloak of Deception. I can't remember James's last name, but the book took less than a year, I think, around the events of Phantom Menace. And it was more in the core regions of the galaxy, not so much on the outer rim, like the, well, pretty much everything else is taking place here. And the creatures that they find here, the ones that are very familiar to the Egyptian hieroglyphs, they're called a Polytech species. And then, of course, there's what we have now. We're watching now is we're seeing the robot clan, or techno clan, sorry, is what they are. I kind of miss, I know a lot of people found it annoying, but I kind of miss with the techno clan what's the twisting the robe, their gadgets to make them help talk and speak a little bit better. They just talk normal. I think they got rid of that because I guess a lot of people thought it was annoying, but if you're going to go obnoxious with that kind of alien and make it just so blatantly bland, sorry, I'm not a big fan of those. Never noticed that on Rex's helmet, the markings. I know they customize their helmets to match certain things. Like Rex, if you notice, he's got like the little ears. That was one of the first seasons. He ran into a youngling, and she had like this, that was her ears on her body. And I know him and a couple of the other ones have done that, to where they've done that, you know, kind of made a customized version. I just have never seen the markings on the side of his helmet, keeping track. I didn't realize Rex was that way. And this is a good twist to have Anakin actually talking to Rex and calming him down instead of vice versa. How Obi-Wan would always have to calm Anakin down and bring him back down to Earth and keep him under control. And I hope everybody else catches the humor of seeing Anakin caught in a sandstorm. I think the second time watching this, when I saw that, I was like, oh yeah, I hate sand comment keeps coming back up. Yeah, and Wrecker does have a fear of heights, and this will come to play later in this episode and the next. If they continue with the animatics that I've seen before, which they seem like that's what they're doing, they've got this arc, and then there's like another smaller arc out here. Now, these are the first time we're going to see these types of droids. I like to refer to the animatics because it's something I've already seen before. When I first saw those, I thought they were just very odd framed things. I didn't think that that's what they would look like until I actually got to see this. But yeah, these are a rare version of just the standard droids. What these guys have is they have multiple blasters, but they're also equipped with wings on the back of them. You can kind of see these like little bony, spiny things coming off their back. but they're not formidable. They're just like their ground predecessors. I just thought it was very strange, the design of them. Like, why would you even bother changing the head and not just give them? They just look flimsy and weak, weaker than the other ones, definitely. Like, you can just push them over. When I first saw this, I was afraid of I know it's not going to happen. I'm not going to spoil too much for you because it's just my thought. I thought there was going to be a double cross from the Bad Batch, the way they've divided them up. But I was wrong on that. But my first instinct was, you know, okay, something shady is going to happen here. Again, there's the vibroblade that we saw from the last episode, also referred and used in The Mandalorian by Mando. Now, the round symbols on the walls are actually the Technoclan's flag or symbol, very similar to the Rebel symbol that we'll, you know, that we see later on in the trilogies, and also the Empire symbol. But that is their logo, if you will, for the Technoclan. And here we go. We find that, yes, this is, and it was Echo. What's left of him. Well, it looks like his body's very similar to what they did to Darth Maul in the later seasons of Clone Wars, giving him a half-robot body. And he's making reference to the last thing he saw was how he had to get everybody to the shuttle. Which, in a darker way. I mean, this started off as a kid show, but it turned into kind of an everybody show. And that's a dark theme to add into that, just to think that, you know, has he been sitting here for how many years has it been, reliving the moment of his death over and over, trapped in this strange state? In true Star Wars fashion, we're going to leave you with a cliffhanger. Again, Dave Filoni does classic work on this. It's a great, great series, and picking it up where they are. And I mean, it's important for, I know, a lot of Star Wars fans, it, you know, to continue it over to basically leading up to the beginning of Revenge. I have a feeling, again, the animatic ones I've seen, it wasn't really a lot that we saw that they connected, but I have a feeling that part of the way through this season, they're going to vanish off, and they're going to say Obi-Wan and Anakin are being drawn back to Coruscant, because now there's the planet's being attacked. And that's where I think we're going to pick up on the Ahsoka and Rex storyline, because we do find out, and this isn't a secret, that during the trailers, we saw a lot of Ahsoka. We saw a lot of Darth Maul, or Maul, as he's called now, and also Rex. And we do know at some point before the Order 66, Rex does pull his chip out, because there is a chip in the back of everybody's head, or all the clones' heads, to, you know, enact Order 66. And if anybody's ever seen Rebels, we know there was a small group of clones that removed their chip before the Order was called. So I'm wondering if that's kind of what they're going to do. They're going to branch off into different areas and go from there. And that's, and we'll see kind of the last time, you know, Ahsoka and Rex fought together. And if you guys remember in the trailer, they showed a couple of clone troopers. Their armors mimicked Ahsoka's face painting or face art. So we're kind of interested to see which direction that goes. But we can't wait. Again, we're just at the beginning of the Clone Wars Season 7, the finale. Thank you guys for joining me here. Again, check us out at heroesasylum.com. You can check out the Heroes Asylum podcast that's there. You can also check out the Midnight Movie Podcast, which is Kane and I. We sit down and we do a watch along with movies. This year, we decided we're going to, you know, take a big chunk out of a project, and we're doing a watch along for what we consider the top 12 most important Avenger movies for the Infinity Saga. May not be the ones you would agree with us, but we sat down and had a nice long talk about it and figured out what we thought were the most important ones at the end of the series. After we got down and watched all of everything, we're like, you know, these stood out more, and these are the ones that we're going to watch. And we had to pick 12. We also are doing, once a month, we are doing movie watch-alongs for different categories. That we picked out 12 movies total, 6 for me, 6 for Kane. He got the first pick last month. He chose comedy, and he chose to do the Princess Bride. This month, for March, is my choice. I haven't quite decided what round I'm taking yet, but I have the choices of 90s sci-fi crime. So, you know, we're doing something a little different, not just in the geek universe movies, or the Star Wars or the Marvel world. But I hope you guys had a great time on this one. I hope to hear you guys next week. You know, give me some feedback, what you think, what you don't like about it, what you want to hear more of. Also, we have a KaiserCon coming up in 3 weeks, where Kane and I will be at the convention. Come by, see us, hang out. We'll be there Friday and Saturday. It's March 20th and March 21st, and we hope to see you guys there. If not, just make sure you guys check out Heroes Asylum and the Midnight Movie Podcast are coming out this week with some new episodes. So we hope to see you then. Get to the asylum.
This has been a Heroes Asylum production.